David's prayer in Psalm 27, verse 4. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. This morning, I'd like to talk with you about your house. Let's step through the front door and walk around a bit. Every so often, it's good to do a home inspection, you know. Check the roof for leaks. Examine the walls for bows. Examine the foundation for cracks. We'll see if your kitchen cupboards are full and glance at the books on the shelves in your study. Oh, what's that? You thought I was odd that I want to look at your house? You thought this was a spiritual matter in the message? Well, it is, but forgive me. I should have been clearer. I'm not talking about your visible house of stones and sticks or wood or straw, but your invisible one of thoughts and truths, convictions, hopes. I'm talking about your spiritual house. You have one, you know. And it's no typical house. Conjure up your fondest notions, and the house exceeds them all. A grand castle has been built for your heart. Just as a physical house exists to care for the body, so the spiritual house exists to care for your soul. And you've never seen a house more solid. The roof never leaks, and the walls never crack. The foundation never trembles. You've never seen a castle more splendid, and the observatory will stretch you. The chapel will humble you. The study will direct you, and the kitchen will nourish you. Ever lived in a house like that? Chances are you haven't. Chances are you may have given little thought to the housing your soul. We create elaborate houses for our bodies, but our souls are relegated to a hillside shanty where the night winds chill us and the rains soak us. Is it any wonder that the world is so full of cold hearts? Doesn't have to be this way. We don't have to live outside. It's not God's plan for your heart to roam as a Bedouin. God wants you to move in out of the cold and live with him. Under his roof, there's space available. At the table, there's a place that has been set. In his living room, a wing back chair is reserved just for you. And he'd like you to take up residence in his house. And why would he want to share his home? Simple. He's your father. You were intended to live in your father's house. Any place less than his is insufficient. Any place far from his is dangerous. Only the home built for your heart can protect your heart. And your father wants you to dwell in him. You didn't mishear that. Max Lucado writes, your father doesn't just ask you to live with him, he asks you to live in him. As Paul wrote, for in him we live and move and have our being. Don't think that you're separated from God, he at the top of a great ladder and you at the other. Dismiss any thought that God is on Venus while you're here on earth. Since God is spirit, he's next to you. God himself is the roof. God himself is our wall. God himself is our foundation. Moses knew this. He prayed, Lord, you have been our home since the beginning. What a powerful thought. God as your home. The home is a place where you can come in and kick off your shoes and eat pickles and crackers and not worry about what people think when they see you that you're still in your bathroom. Your home is familiar to you. No one has to tell you how to locate your bedroom, and you don't need directions to the kitchen. And after a hard day scrambling in the world, it's assuring to come to a place you know God can be. With time in God's house, you can learn to know where you're to go for nourishment, where you can hide for protection, where you can turn for guidance. And just as your earthly home is a place of refuge, so God's house is a place of peace. God's house has never been plundered. His walls have never been breached. God can be your dwelling place. In fact, God wants you to be your dwelling place. He has no interest in being a weekend getaway or a Sunday bungalow or a summer cottage. Don't consider using God as a vacation cabin or eventual retirement home. He wants you under his roof now and always. He wants to be your mailing address, your point of reference. He wants to be your home. Listen to the promise of his son in John 14:23. If my people love me, they will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. For many, this may be a new thought. We think of God as a deity to discuss, not a place to dwell. We think of God as a mysterious miracle worker, not a house to live in. We think of God as a creator to call on, not a home to reside in. But our Father wants to be much more. He wants us to be the one in whom we live and move and have our being. When Jehovah led the children of Israel through the wilderness, he didn't just appear once a day and then abandon them. The pillar of fire was present all night, and the cloud was present all day, and our God never leaves us. I will be with you always. That's what he promised in Matthew 28:20. Our faith takes a quantum leap when we understand the perpetual presence of the Father, 24/7. Our Jehovah is the fire of our night, the cloud of our day. He never leaves us. Heaven knows no difference between Sunday morning and Wednesday afternoon. God longs to speak as clearly in the workplace as in the sanctuary. He longs to be worshiped when we sit at the dinner table and not just when we come to the communion table. We may go days without thinking of him, but there's never a moment when he's not thinking of you. Knowing this, we understand Paul's rigorous goal. We capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We can fathom why he urges us to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Be constant in prayer. Romans 12:12. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Ephesians 6:18. Continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. Hebrews 13:15. And let heaven fill your thoughts. Colossians 4:2. David, whom as you know was the man after God's own heart, said, I'm asking Yahweh for one thing, only one thing, to live with him in his house my whole life long. I'll contemplate his beauty. I'll study at his feet. And that's the only quiet place and secure in a noisy world. What is this house of God that David asks and seeks? Is David describing a physical structure? Does he long for a building with four walls and a door through which he can enter but never exit? No. Our Lord does not live in temples built by human hands. And when David says, I will live in the house of the Lord forever, he's not saying he wants to get away from people. He's saying that he yearns to be in God's presence. David longs to be in God's house. Max says, I know what you're thinking. Sure, but he was David. He was the poet, the prince, the giant killer. He didn't have carpools or diapers and a boss who breathes deadlines like a dragon breathes fire. I'd love to live in God's house too, but for the time being, I'm stuck in the real world. Forgive me, says Max, but I beg to differ. You aren't stuck in the real world, just the opposite. You are one step away from the house of God, wherever you are, whatever time it is, whether in the office on Thursday or at a soccer practice on Saturday, you are only a decision away from the presence of your Father, and you need never leave the house of God. You don't need to change your zip code or your neighborhood. All you need to change is your perception. When your car is stuck in traffic, you can step into the chapel. When the gust of temptation unbalances your stride, step behind the wall of his strength. When fellow employees belittle you, take a seat on the porch swing next to your Father. He'll comfort you. Remember, this is no house of stone. You won't find it in a map. You won't find it described in a realtor journal, but you will find it in your Bible. You actually have seen the blueprint before. You've read the names of the rooms and recited the layout. You're familiar with the design, but chances are you've never considered it as a house plan. You viewed the verses as a prayer, and indeed they are the Lord's Prayer. It would be difficult to find someone who hasn't quoted the prayer or read the words. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. Children memorize it. Parishioners recite it. Students study it. But I want to challenge you to do something different. I want us to live in it, to view it as a floor plan, to our spiritual house. And in these verses, Christ has provided more than a model for prayer. He's provided a model for living. These words do more than tell us what to say to God. They tell us how to exist with God. These words actually describe a grand house in which God's children, you and I, were intended to live with Him forever. You want to take a look around? Me too. I know the perfect place to begin. In the living room, a painting hangs over the mantel. The owner of the house treasures it. He invites all who enter in to begin their journey by gazing at the picture, learning the truth about our Father. Open house begins next Sunday. Selah. In closing, I'd like to play the Lord's Prayer. And as you hear it, make it also the prayer of your heart. Our benediction is from Numbers. Bow with me. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen.